We'll continue in the Word. Let's turn to the book of Acts, chapter 2. We'll be continuing. Last week, part 2, are we a New Testament church? Okay, the second four. All right, let's stand as we're going to read from Acts, chapter 2, verse 37 to 47. As a reminder of passage, and then we'll look at what are some of the characteristics, okay? Let's read together. Ready? One, two. Ready? One, two. Begin. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourself from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and all things common. And sold their possession and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and bringing bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That's a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this is your time that your word will be spoken. I pray that your Holy Spirit will speak through your word. Lord, your word is a lamp to our feet and light to our path. Lord, the pathway that every Christian needs to walk, every church needs to follow. And I pray, Lord, that through this passage, you will teach us the remaining four things. You will learn in my heart, that you will share with your people. The Lord, we will truly be a New Testament church according to your will. We will thank you for what you're going to do. Speak to us in a special way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, just a quick review of last week. Okay, last week we touched on four characteristics of the New Testament church. Firstly, they were saved. All right, the Bible says that they gladly received the word, were baptized. Okay, they were saved. Peter challenged them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sin. That was what Peter told them to do. Genuine salvation is the very first step, all right, to a New Testament church. Every member must be a saved person. And so the question we need to ask ourselves is, have we received biblical salvation? I think one of the things that the Bible conference cleared up for me, and the Lord was really personal to teach, that we need to be very clear that the salvation is not what we think it to be, it's what the Bible says it to be. Our salvation must be what the Bible says to be, not what we think to be, because there are many definitions of salvation, but the Bible says we have to repent from our sin and put our faith in Jesus Christ, and then we will have biblical salvation that God approves of. Number one, they were saved. Number two, the early church were different by the activities they were involved in. Okay, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, and they that gladly received were baptized. Okay, every New Testament church member was baptized. Okay, they were students and doers of the word. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They were not just merely coming to church and sitting down and looking. They were learners. They were doers. For those who came to our Sunday school, I think you may have a rude shock. All right, just now. And one of the things that the Lord convicted my heart about is you need to teach the people the word, but you need to test them to see whether they remember. So those who attended the Sunday school, and I hope you will continue to do so, were subjected to a test. Okay, the idea is not so much to make it embarrassing or all that, but it's a way of just making sure we remember. Okay, so I'll be marking this. We look at repentance and faith. Okay, and it's a way of just remembering the Bible verses that God has given to us. And I think many of us do know here and there, but we want to make it concrete. For a disciple of Christ, we need to be growing. We need to be students of the word, but we can't do it unless we know. And the purpose of the Sunday school is making sure that we know, all right? So every Sunday, do come prepared, prayerfully, All right, because there will be a short quiz, but it will all be based on the lesson that was taught. So it's a quick way of revising. So please pray for me as I also prepare that. But every week I'll just bring home Mark and then I'll pass it back to you so that you have a copy to file, okay? But the early church were students and doers of the word. They were not just coming to church. Today the concept is I go to church and see whether it feeds me or not. If not, I leave. No. When they went to church, they were students of the Word of God. They wanted to hear what God has to say, and they did it. Because the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Okay? Then they had fellowship. The Bible says, continue steadfastly and in apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. Fellowship is koinonia, whereby two persons in the same ship, they go through the same thing, they walk together. And many times when we come to church, we share. I had a good time of fellowship with Brother Joshua. He looks very serious, right? Because he's big, he's strong, and but you know what? He can laugh. He can joke. We just had a wonderful time. He's a wonderful brother, and you know, the thing that really encouraged me about him is every free time he has, he's in the Word. You know, he's in the Word. He's just memorizing it, and he's and you need to go on a Bible conference with him to know what I mean. I was really I was so shameful by myself, you know. But you know what? It was such a blessing, the fellowship. We learned God's word. We talked about it. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. We kind of shared with one another what we thought about the Bible, and we prayed. So we thank God for that. But they had fellowship, you know, in the church, we need to have that. We need to have that fellowship. And fellowship is not based on what? The topics that we talk about fellowship is not the things of this world, but the apostles' doctrine. What apostles teach us. I'm not saying you can't talk about other things, but you know, one of the things they had fellowship with was the oneness in Christ that they had, okay? And then, they ate together, all right? The Bible says the breaking of bread is the Lord's Supper, but also it has the idea, last time when they ate, they literally tore bread and shared, okay? And they prayed together. Oh, that's so important. And during the Bible conference, I just shared with you as pastor, it was Spurgeon who said, prayer meeting is the most important meeting in the week, not the worship service. Because without the prayer meeting, the worship service is not going to have God's power. I want to encourage every church member to be faithful at the prayer meeting. I know you may have things to do, but I think the early church prayed together. And that's why they have power. What kind of activities are we involved in as believers? All right? I'm not talking about the fact that you have to work. That's your responsibility to take care of your family. But when you have the time, commit them to the activities of the early church, okay? And then they love one another fervently, all right? The Bible talks about they sharing all that they had. And then they had unity. The Bible says in verse 46, that they continued daily with one accord. The word one accord has the idea of a unified spirit. They were one heart, one mind, and one faith. And one mind, one heart, one spirit, and one faith in what they have received from Christ, okay? So these are the four. I'm going to move on. Let's look at verse 46. The fifth thing about the church at that time is that they had joy. The Bible says in verse 46, Acts 2:46, they continuing with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat. In other words, they eat their meat. Now the meat just is a broad word just for food, okay? Meat, food. So they ate what they have with gladness. With gladness. They were glad. There was joy in the hearts of these new believers. When I was in the Philippines, you know, in Singapore, when we have conference, we have like big spread, anniversary, we had big spread. I was very humble when I went there. These are all, I mean, the church is actually at least a four-story building, okay, very big. And it was right smack at the end of the road, there were all villages around. People were very poor, okay? And so, of course, we did pay 100 pesos for registration and $60 for the module, the books and all that. And breakfast and lunch were all served. You know, in Singapore, you would expect a spread, right, like buffet and all that. But no, they were just humble people. There was actually a group of sisters of the church. There was a cafeteria. They cooked rice, they cooked chicken, they cooked vegetables. So everyone just kind of lined up. And we just lined up as well and just followed and ate together. But you know what? They were very sincerely joyful. I mean, they were very glad, and they would think, thank you for coming, and they were just happy that they're there to serve. I actually wanted to show you a photo. There was one particular sister, her name is Sister Joy, Joan, J-O, about 50s. I was so touched by what she did. You know what she did? She took a pail, and she was actually literally, you know, sometimes on our walls there are these kind of things. She was literally taking the cloth, trying to clean, making sure that the sanctuary doesn't have any spot. She was cleaning the glass, and she was cleaning, she was scrubbing part of the car park. Can you believe that? Car park. She was scrubbing. It's like, what on earth is she doing, you know? And I believe deep down she just wanted to serve God, making God, make sure that the church of God was clean. Just a simple thing. And little did I know, later she was in the choir. This part of the choir as well. You know what? They had joy in their service. And you could see the people just going about their business. They know that there's a conference going. They're making sure everything is fine. They had joy in their hearts. But the question we need to ask, why were the early church eating their meat with gladness? What just happened to them? What just happened to them? Anyone? What just happened to the people of the early church? They just trusted Christ. Right? They just trusted Christ. They were just following the apostles' doctrine. They were glad because of their salvation and their life in Christ. You know, I was thinking on this. In Acts chapter 16, verse 34, the Bible says that was the Philippian jailer, after he trusted Christ. Notice what the Bible says. In Acts chapter 16, verse 31, Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be safe in thy house. And after he trusted Christ, notice in verse 34, when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his heart. He was joyful because of his salvation. He was joyful because of his salvation. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 7, and there ye shall eat before the Lord your God, and ye shall rejoice in all that ye put your hand unto, ye and your households, wherein the Lord thy God hath blessed thee. Do you have joy in your hearts because of your salvation? Or is your joy dependent on what happens in the surroundings? Or when something happens, you lose your joy? When that happens, it means that your joy is not in Christ, but is in your surroundings. It is a mark of Christian maturity when your joy is still there when everything crumbles around you. Does that make sense? It is a mark of Christian maturity whereby you do not complain when everything crumbles around you, because your joy is in Christ. And the early church had that. They had joy. In Acts chapter 8, verse 39, when the Ethiopian eunuch heard the gospel from Philip, at that time it was the deacon. Remember, the Holy Spirit said, go join yourself to the Ethiopian eunuch was coming back from Jerusalem. He was reading Isaiah 53. And Philip the deacon, the Holy Spirit, told him, go join yourself. And so he sat down. I don't know how he did, but he sat down beside the Ethiopian eunuch and say, understand what thou readest? Do you understand what you're reading? And then, of course, the Ethiopian eunuch look at him and say, how can I, except some men should guide me? And the Philip shared with him Christ. And you know what? At the end of the day, he said, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, out of the blue, I'm reading Isaiah 53, and the next thing you know in the Bible, the Ethiopian eunuch wanted to be baptized. And then, of course, Philip said, well, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Salvation in Christ is a criteria for baptism. And so, of course, he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's where Philip baptized him. But notice the last verse in Acts chapter 8, verse 39. And when they were come out of the water, after Philip baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, that the eunuch saw him no more. And the Ethiopian went on his way, what? Rejoicing. He was glad. What just happened to him? He just trusted Christ and he followed the Lord in believers' baptism. And I believe the early church had joy. They were glad, not because of what they received, of the material things, but they were glad because of the salvation in Christ. Will you be joyful when everything crumbles around you? The early church had that, and we need to have that. Okay? They had joy. Moving forward, Acts chapter 2, verse 47, they were people of praise. They were people of praise. The Bible says they did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God. They were praising God. They were praising God. The early church were people of praise. Now, what were they praising God for? Two things, I believe. Number one, they were praising God for their salvation. They were thanking God. Praising God has the idea of giving to God what rightfully He deserves. Before the early church people, Jews, were saved, they were cursing God. Remember? Crucify Him! But after they trusted Christ, they praised God. They know Jesus is our Messiah. Firstly, they praise God for their salvation. But you know what? The second thing they praise God for was for the things they have received from Christ. The things they received from Christ. They were Christians. When was the last time you praised God for your salvation? When was the last time? When was the last time you came to church or you were reading your Bible and you said, Lord, just thank you. I praise you, Lord, for... And then you would just stop and say, Lord, my salvation is such a wondrous thing that you, a God so holy, but yet so loving, will come to me, a sinner so terrible, and reach down and save me. Lord, I praise you. Praising God for the salvation and also praising God for the believers around, for the help they have been receiving, for the unity of the Spirit and the joy that they had. Right? They were people of praise. You know, as a church, we need to be a people of praise. And I'm trying to think practically how to increase that. You know, when I was in the church there, literally their singing could bring the house down. Okay, what happened is that they don't have any curtains. I'm seriously thinking what to do with the curtains. I think it may be muffling about. But when I was there, what happened was the church was huge. You probably could sit at least 400 people. Number one. Number two, they didn't have aircon. So when I spoke to one of the sisters or brothers in the church and said, what happens in the hotter months? I said, oh, very hot. Okay? But they just got a lift because it's four stories and they were doing it not because they want to be luxurious, but they had some members who had problems walking up the stairs, so they actually installed lift. So I said, Pastor, our next project is air conditioning. Right? But what I saw was as we were singing, it was loud. I actually have some videos of the singing. When they sang, they would open the windows. Of course, for the air to come in and for the sound to go out, it was so loud. They had a wonderful choir, at least 25 to 30 people. The pianist was there and the orchestra was on top. All right, it was such a wonderful, I want to say a cacophony of noises, but it's just an orchestra. It's such a wonderful praise. They were praising God. And you could see the joy in their hearts, okay? And there was one particular sister, she had a woo-hoo-hoo, the kind of sound. It was a real, like, what do you call it? Opera type of sound. Her voice was really good. But you know, when she sang in the choir, she was part of the choir. She didn't stand out. I knew that because she was trying to teach some of the other sisters who were trying to practice the song. But when she sang, they sang as a whole choir. They were people of praise. You know what? We were so and people were shouting amens and they were people of praise. We need to praise God. We need to have more praise in our hearts for God. And then in verse 47, they had joy. They were people of praise. You know what? The next thing, they had a testimony among the unsaved. The Bible says praising God and having favor with all the people. They had favor with all the people. I was just studying and reading this part. What do you mean by having favor? Having favor means when someone look at you, you say, that's a good man. That's a good man. That's a good person. They are humble. This is what I gathered as I studied. One of the commentators said that they are humble, serious, devoted lives to Jesus won the favor of the community and silenced all the opposition. In other words, anyone who had any bad thing to say about the church, the lives of the believers was so powerful, the community had to accept them, that they are the good people. You know, in our history of the Baptists, Jeremiah challenged me on that. What do you mean by history of the Baptists? Some of the Baptists were cults. You know that? They believe wrong things, okay? But you know what? The history of Christians who stood with the word, there was one particular history I was remembering, and I was real challenged by it. There was this group of Christians, well, at that time they were called by different names. They went to a village. The village was controlled by the Catholics. No, but within a few months, the Catholics were losing control. Why? Because the Christians, by their hard work, sincerity, excellence of spirit, their kindness and helping neighbors, they were winning people to Christ. They were literally winning people to Christ by their testimony. And what happened was the Catholic Church wanted to kick them out, you know, get real. And because they were persecuted, they had to run, the economy of that village went down. Before that, because of the sincerity and the testimony among the Christians, that village grew in blessing, because you know hard work, there's blessing, and the Christians were there, they worked hard, they were sincere, they were honest, and the people liked them. But those in authority didn't like them, and so he kicked them out. And so, wherever Christians go, in the past, were serious-minded Christians. You know, there was one particular Catholic inquisitor who was, during that time, there was this persecution of the Christians. After 4 days of trying to question, if you know what I'm talking about, last time, the Christians were being persecuted seriously because they're Christians. And so when they were brought in, they were grilled them, they were asked them, they were accused them. And this, I read it, I remember it because it's so such a blessing to me. The Catholic person said, I learned more Bible in that 4 days asking this Christian than I did 4 years in my seminary. It is said that the Christians, many hundreds of years ago, learned their Bible by heart. In other words, they can quote Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We learn one verse and we struggle. They quote whole books of the Bible. And the Bible said, by their serious, devoted lives, they won the favor of the mass of the community. This was a remarkable effect. That God has a power to silence opposition simply by the sincere lives of the Christians. Simply by the devoted life of the believers. The behavior of the church was so consistent with the principles of the gospel and the Bible that the early church won the favor. Some of the people who saw that, they didn't want to join the church. They didn't want to join the church. You know why? Because they realized that if I join them, I've got to be like them. And I don't want to be like them. But I respect them for who they are. I'm not going to join them. Acts chapter 4 tells us that. But you know what? I don't know about you, it should be a challenge to us. That our lives ought to be such a shining light that it would attract people to Christ. The final point, Acts 2:47, it's not really a point. I struggled with it. In fact, I had another point, but the Lord taught me something from here. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Initially, my point was, they were evangelistic people. Then I re-look at the verse again. The Bible didn't say that. They were people who were genuinely saved. They were set apart by the activities they did. They prayed together, they were baptized, they were firm, they loved one another. They were united. They had joy in their hearts. They were people of praise, and they were people of testimony. And when all these seven characteristics were there, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. I'm not saying that we can, we have to do that. In fact, I can tell you, if we are the first seven characteristics, the Lord will add daily such as should be saved. Because the Bible says so. When the Lord sees a church that will follow exactly what he says, the Bible said, the Lord added daily such as should be saved. He added to the church the right people, with the right heart, the right sincerity, who see what is right. That's what I'm looking for. And I know I'm a sinner, and God says, in this verse, The Lord added to the church daily such should be saved. You know what? They had daily revival. Every day was a day of revival. The people were coming into the church, they were getting saved, gloriously saved. It is said that when Jesus empowered the church with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, they had 3,120 members. In 6 months, they had 50,000 members. And during Jerusalem time, there was probably about 80 to 100,000 people. Half the city got saved. Simply because of 120 people who devoted their lives to God. They had daily revival. When they were genuinely saved, meaning they repented from their sin, they turned to Christ for salvation and the forgiveness of sins. When they were baptized, they were students of the word, they were doers of the word, they fellowshiped with one another, they ate together, they prayed together, they loved one another fervently. They had unity, they had joy, and because of their salvation, they were people of praise. They had a strong testimony among the people. The Lord saved the people so they should be saved. In other words, through the power of the lives of those people in the early church and their conversion, people came to Christ. As we close, I wonder, would the Lord do this for us as a church? I wonder if the Lord do that for us as a church. When I was there, the thing that really shocked me, Brother Joshua Kok can attest, Pastor Madel Barrera, in his closing address, said something that blew me away. He said, brothers, pastors, 10 years ago, we were going to be contemporary. We were going to be having the music and all the bad music on the church. Everything was okay. We didn't know why, but they invited Brother Cloud to preach. And the first thing Brother Cloud pointed out, that was the wrong thing. And they argued. But Pastor Barrera, I'm sure along the way, the Lord spoke to his heart. When God took a hold of his heart, a few years later, he began to buy a lot of the books to educate all the preachers about the issues. And today, Brother Joshua Kok can attest, I do have the videos. I was very blessed by the high level of music standards they had. They were a very strong choir. The dressing of the people reflected Christianity and Christ and who he is of holiness and purity. They were talking about scripture and they were always very humble, and I see many of the people had that heart of love. And if I'm not wrong, since 1995 up to, they've been around for 20 years, only in the last 10 years things began to change. They planted 8 missions. One of the pastors, it wasn't Pastor Johnny, it was Pastor John D. J-O-H-N-D-Y. So I thought it was Pastor Johnny. No, it's Pastor John D. His father is working in Singapore, so he's trying to come so that he can actually link up and try to, the father's not safe. And Pastor John D is actually a missionary sent out by this church. For those who know Sister Rowena, I had dinner with them. She told me that she's actually in the church this morning. They've been bumming around, not in the church. I just realized that the second reason why God wanted me to go to the Philippines, one was to be strengthened in the faith in Christ, another one to bring this family back to church. Today, Sister Rowena, the 3 girls are in church, Pastor Barrera's church. Please pray for them, that God will help them to grow. And I could see the 3 girls were very excited about meeting me, and they're probably a bit tickled. And this, Pastor Johnny is in Philippines, you know? And it took me, and we just had a good time. They were sharing, and they were, I share that to say this. Looking at the Bible, the early church, God added, simply because there were 7 requirements that the early church had. We want to move towards this passage and live like this because it's a biblical lifestyle. We need to be able to take the Bible and say, Lord, how do we do it in Singapore? I'm sure we can be serious students of the Bible. I'm sure we can come together more often to pray. I was just sharing with some of them that, you know how much prayer we use to support our ministries in Ambassador? I was calculating just a normal Sunday school services. Wednesday night, Friday nights. We do 624 hours of ministry every year. 624 hours, just a normal service, a Sunday school, Friday nights. And we only pray 26 hours a year as a church. And God convicted my heart as I was looking through there and said, God, that cannot be. One of the things I learned, no prayer, no power. Some prayer, some power. Lots of prayer, lots of power. And I believe God responds to us in a measure of faith that we will say, Lord, we are serious about seeking your blessings. I think some of these young people will trust Christ and get saved if we pray more. In these seven characteristics of our lives, we have joy in our hearts, we have unity, we are serious students of the Word of God and allowing God to change us. We are genuinely saved because we have repented from sin and the world and we're turning to Christ. God will do that for us. This would need us to get serious about the Bible and prayer, witnessing, church attendance, loving one another, unity, praising God. And then, as a church, we can have the daily revival. I don't know about you. I would like to see that. But that would mean that in your families, you will have daily revival too. You know, your family will stay together, will pray together too. May we be New Testament Church. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts. Lord, I pray that the book of Acts chapter 2 would burn in our hearts these characteristics, Lord. They were the early church. They welcomed the word. They were baptized. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Lord, they cared for one another by selling their goods and sharing, and giving out to everyone that have need. And Father, they ate their meat with singleness of heart and with gladness. They were praising God and having favor with all the people. And Lord, you added to the church daily such as should be saved. Heavenly Father, I pray that Ambassador Baptist Church will be a church of the New Testament. Forgive us, Lord, that we've neglected some areas. We're thankful for you being patient with us. But we still want to grow, Lord. And we're asking you to help us as a church. With eyes closed, heads bowed, is there someone who says, Pastor, pray for me? That God has spoken to me. I don't know what, but I believe the Holy Spirit has spoken to you in some way. Perhaps the question to ask, if I'm a Christian, will I be a serious student of the Word? Follow Him? Will I be united in prayer with the people in our church so that we can grow as one? There's someone who said, Pastor, pray for me. I don't know what it is, but just pray for me. I know God has spoken to my heart. I need to do business with God. Just pray. Is there someone like that? Amen. I see that. Is there someone else? Amen. I see that hand too. Amen. I see that hand. Is there someone else? All right, just one more question. If you're not a Christian, then you say, Brother Johnny, I'm not genuinely saved. I know that. I've not left my sin. I'm still, I need to say I'm a Christian, but I've not lost my sin. I need to get saved. And as we learn in Sunday school, salvation is an instantaneous thing. If you are convicted by the Holy Spirit about your sin and you will put your faith in Christ, you will be saved. Is there someone like that? Pastor Johnny, I need to get saved. Is there someone like that? Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. And get someone to show you from the Bible. Send me. Is there someone? All right, let's pray. Father, I pray for the brothers and sisters who have heard the message. And I pray you will help them to be serious students of your word. That Father, as the song goes, our anchor holds, and our faith in Christ, our anchor will hold. Despite the gale, despite the different winds that will try to topple us, but Lord, as long as we anchor our life and our thinking and our hearts in your word, of the early church, we will stand. Heavenly Father, I pray for the brethren, the brothers and sisters that put up their hand. Help them, Lord, to be faithful. Help them in the decisions they need to make, help them to be strong in those. And I pray they will be accountable to someone for those decisions as well. So Lord, as we sing the closing hymn, I ask you, speak to our hearts still through the song. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. We're just saying one stanza of Let the Low Lights Be Burning to remind ourselves that the purpose of the church is to be a light to this world. Just one stanza, right? And then we'll finish. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I believe that you have spoken to our hearts in some way. For those who have made decisions, help them to be strong in those decisions, Lord. That the Father, they will remain on your side. The Father, for the rest of us, help us to learn more and grow more. God, we want to be serious disciples of Christ that we may follow you wherever you call us. Thank you, Lord. We pray also for some who may need your help, Lord, in understanding certain things. I pray also that your Holy Spirit will be so tender and so gracious in leading that person to the truth of your word, that they might find Christ. And for a Christian who may be away from you, Lord, help them, Lord, to move back to you, giving up their sin, and then confessing that, and then allowing you to change them. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. The things that will follow, the lunch, maybe just a short meeting, I pray that your blessings will be on us, Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.